Welcome to Volume 4 for Hi-Fi Living. I'm Hill Bowen. Oh, wait. Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Flissy. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is Volume 4 for Hi-Fi Living, I Married an Angel, on RCA Custom Records, catalog number RAL1004, a release from 1957. And ever since we pulled out this record to listen to, we're talking about podcasting. I'm like, okay, when are we gonna do Volume 4 for Living in Hi-Fi? And you had to correct me like every single time I said it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to change the name of our podcast. I don't know, like with the RCA Victor, RCA Custom come after us for copyright infringement.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So I think this album was one of your albums from before we got married.
Yeah, I definitely bought this album when I lived in Memphis and I was going to art school. And when I was in an MFA program briefly, and I was like super into just everything like post-war 1950s like pop culture. And so I certainly bought this album exclusively for the cover, which is like very 1950s. It's all block letters, Volume 4 for Hi-Fi Living. It's got the RCA Custom in the corner. It's like this hot pink on the top where it says Volume 4 for Hi-Fi Living. And then on the bottom half is this where it says I Married an Angel. It's this lady sitting on a pedestal with like really cute little angel wings and a guy in a suit giving her a really actually kind of pitiful little vase of violets. You'd think you'd be a little bit more grateful if you married an angel. You might have a update your bouquet there, man.
It's not a corsage or something, you think?
No. Well, I don't know. It's hard to say. Look to me. It looks like a little vase. It's kind of like pinching it. I don't know. You know, I said that I bought this in Memphis, but on the back, there's a stamp with Charles O. Enzer, Brown Ridge Road, Highland, Howard County, Maryland. So probably I actually bought it here. But, you know, when I dropped out of art school, I moved back and even like I was still like super into this all this 1950s kitsch, basically. And so even though I dropped out of art school, I was still in the pursuit of all of that aesthetic. So anyway, in addition to the stamp on the back, it has, again, Volume 4, I Married an Angel in big block letters. Underneath, there's this very 1950s illustration, this little pen and ink drawing of some couples dancing in the background, a couple people sitting and flipping through some records, and then a couple loading up their hi-fi console in the background. And you can tell they're in this mid-century modern little house. There's like a little plant, some little like lamps, and this linoleum floor. It is definitely capturing the spirit of the 50s. And it has a little description about the this particular edition of Living in Hi-Fi. Wait, no, Hi-Fi Living. And it has also a list of all the other volumes on the back.
All right, well, let's take a listen to the first clip. This is my pick. I think it's the first track on side A. It is I Married an Angel.
Thank you.
Okay, Felicity, what did you think?
It's just a whole lot of strings, I think.
This track is sort of demonstrative of what the sound of the entire album is. And in fact, all of the songs on this album are sort of more or less blend together as one song. It's kind of hard to determine the beginning or end of any particular piece, I think.
Yeah, we actually had to listen to this side one twice when we were preparing to record this episode, because we were like, oh wait, what, did you pick a song from this? Because what track are we on now? they really do like all blend together, and I think this is really an excellent example of a record being sold as like an atmospheric experience and not necessarily like you know, selling it for example, like, here's a single and here's a single. It's not like a, you know, a Lady Gaga album or Rihanna where like every single jam is a hit. It all just comes together.
Yeah, and I think that was sort of the concept behind this series, right?
Oh, yeah, and I mean, this Hi-Fi Living, I said it right that time, Hi-Fi Living, this was a series of 12 different albums, and it really was designed to showcase a like hi-fi system and to set a mood to show off your hi-fi system. That's exactly what those people are doing in their little illustration there on the back. So the unfortunate thing, this album was released in 1957, and then stereo was available by 1958. And so these mono like showcase of your hi-fi system were almost immediately obsolete upon the release of this series.
But I guess they didn't really let that stop them, right? They jumped on that bandwagon.
They did eventually produce another stereo box set of 10 LPs, and it was a little bit different. Instead of having like this, in this series, this Hi-Fi Living series, there's 12 different albums. Hill Bowen, who composed and directed this collection, he also is the main, he directs the orchestra on the first volume too, but otherwise there are different artists for each of the volumes, and it's really more about the series. And the stereo one, it's more of a collection. There's like a Perry Como, there's Xavier Cugat, and all of those albums were just like regular releases in the RCA Victor collection that happened to be compiled as well in a box set to showcase your stereo system.
All right, so what can you tell us about Hill Bowen?
So it's really difficult to find anything in depth about this Hi-Fi Living series. What I turned up was mostly just kind of scavenging through discogs.com. And Hill Bowen is also William Hill Bowen, hyphenated. And he was a British composer, conductor, and arranger. And so many of his records were made for Reader's Digest, which is also released on RCA Custom. And in addition to being credited as Hill Bowen, William Hill Bowen, some of his releases were released as The Singing Strings, The Romantic Strings, or The Living Strings.
Sounds right up Sven's alley.
Yeah, and that may clue you into the fact that they're like this I Married an Angel song. There's really an awful lot of strings in the orchestration in this album. And even though Hill Bowen is not, or William Hill Bowen, he's not credited on the Living Strings albums, if you get into Discogs, you can see that he's noted as the arranger. He's credited as the arranger on those, even though if you buy a Living Strings album, it's not going to have his name on it.
All right, well, what did you pick for your clip, Flitzy?
So my clip is Blue Moon.
All right, let's take a listen. Thank you. Okay, Felicity, what'd you think?
This song stands out because it's a song that I recognize. And so, like, this one is, you know, we talk about having this album just has this constant flow of kind of string atmosphere. This one stands out because I usually associate Blue Moon as, like, a vocal doo-wop song, and this one is this, like, string-heavy arrangement. It's a good example of, again, of the feeling of this album just being, like, a very... I almost want to say, like, forgettable string orchestration.
Yeah. I mean, every, like we mentioned already, every song on this album sort of blends together into some one sort of seamless tapestry of strings, with the actual exception of the last track on side A, which is called Doll Dance. And that one is a little bit, I don't know, I mean, it sort of sticks out for being a little bit different formula. It's a little bit more... I don't know, upbeat and jaunty.
Yeah, and it's got this like harpsichord thing going on in there. It's like a little bit, it's a little creepy actually.
I guess Dolls Dancing is a little bit creepy.
It is, yeah. Okay.
But overall, what did you think about this album?
I mean, this is a tough one. Like, I'm actually kind of a fan of this sort of album. I've got a whole pile of Jackie Gleason albums that we haven't featured yet on this show, but I feel like we ought to. Like, there's something about the late 50s that is just super interesting, and not just in this record collection, but I feel like there's a lot of material goods in the 1950s. It's all about selling a lifestyle. And so, for example, like,
making luxury available to everybody.
Yeah, like, you know, there's that, like, ad campaign for Coca-Cola that, like, even Marilyn Monroe drinks Coke. Like, you know, you and Marilyn Monroe, you might be, like, worlds apart, but you're both drinking Coca-Cola. Like, that's... There was a lot of stuff going on in the 50s where, like, things that were not expensive, like records, especially, like, budget records like this one, they're not expensive, but it is, like, selling this atmosphere of luxury to it, and that can be seen in, like, the stylization of the cars and, like, you know, all these crazy colored appliances. Like, everything was sold, like, even if it was cheap, it still is, like, selling this luxury essence about it. And, you know, I can think about, like, putting on this record, like, oh, we just got this console, we're gonna, like, put out our console, we're gonna have a cocktail party, we're gonna, you know, make some fancy drinks.
We're going to seem really classy.
We're going to seem really classy. Yeah. So, you know, in that aspect, I have an affection for this album, even though I think musically, honestly, it's pretty forgettable.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the real reason that this album is memorable to me is because we actually used the cover for, what was it, like our marriage announcement or something?
It was like for our RSVP card for our wedding.
So yeah, Felicity photoshopped our faces onto the cover. And so we had a picture sort of us as the volume 4 for Hi-Fi Living.
Yeah, so it was like we used that image for the front of a postcard, and then on the back is like, are you coming to our wedding reception or no?
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not actually sure whether I had actually listened to this record before we decided to pull it out for this podcast or not, but it's definitely not something that you're going to sort of pick out a favorite track or, you know, say this is my favorite album, but it's definitely something that you could listen to as background music and have, you know, to help you relax from a stressful day or whatever.
To have those, I don't know. Gin Ricky or something. That's some like 50s cocktails.
Yes, and listen mint to some, julep. Some singing strings.
Yeah.
Not dancing strings though.
No.
All right. Well, yeah, I think that, you know, I'd be interested in seeing the rest of this series. I think we have one other album from the series. It has a sort of similar sound to it.
Yeah, which is not surprising because we have volume 1 also, and that one's also directed by Hill Bowen.
But, I mean, I think that these are sort of lost to time because they're not really available on streaming services. I don't think they ever saw a CD release.
No.
So.
And, I mean, they might turn up in your local record store the dollar bin.
Or, yeah, in the oddball section or something. Yeah. But, yeah, you know, definitely something that is, I don't know. I guess, yeah, it's just like sort of a time capsule of that era. And so for that aspect, I think it's very interesting.
Agreed. And, you know, I always vote for buying the charming record covers.
Yeah, good you for never, you never know which, in your house yeah, or something else.
You never know what you'll turn up. That's kind of the how we end up with all the records for this show.
Exactly. So if you want to find out more about this, you can visit our website at livinginhifi.com/episode/18. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Living in Hi-Fi. If you have a longer correspondence, send us an email at feedback@livinginhifi.com. And next week we have one of, you know, Flissy's sort of classic albums. So we can get into the joy of belly dancing. So thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.